When it comes to white mold, the longer you wait, the more damage you do. Stop the clock on white mold with DuPont Approach Fungicide from Corteva Agriscience. Approach Fungicide quickly surrounds the surface of the soybean leaf, so it's rapidly absorbed. Approach then moves throughout the soybean plant, providing full protection of each leaf and stem, even those that have yet to emerge. For more information, visit approach.corteva.us or visit your local crop protection retailer. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to Farm Talk. Busy hours. We're going to get right to it. We've got about 10 minutes or so with our favorite congressman, not to mention that he's the only one from North Dakota, but North Dakota Congressman Kelly Armstrong. Kelly, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay. We're in the middle of a votorama on the House.
We
still have phone booths in the Capitol, and maybe the last place in America.
All right, very good. You cut out there for just a couple of seconds, so hopefully you're in a decent area or you can find one. We did want to talk to you a couple of things going on. We just have you for a little bit here, so I just wanted to ask you, first of all, I know that, and you put out a statement or at least a tweet on this, North Dakota farmers and ranchers, obviously, as we all know, are battling the drought, a historic drought, and you recently co-sponsored a bill with Representative Dusty Johnson trying to improve the USDA's ability to allow emergency hay on CRP acres before August 1st. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of people are going, yeah, the quality of the acreage that we're looking at that we want to use is also being affected by the drought, so you want to get that as quickly as possible so it's usable. So what can you tell us about this bill?
Well, first of all, I mean, we laid it down. Absolutely. Remember, the USDA drug their feet on making a final determination. So it came out last Friday, and it's really, really unfortunate because obviously all the ag groups in the Midwest, all of the conservation groups in the Midwest, from Ducks Unlimited to Pheasants Forever, I think, were in favor of this as well. But because of the how long they took to deny it and the timing in which it got denied, I mean, it's already July 28th, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's just really, really unfortunate. And I think it shows a lack of responsiveness and also a lack of understanding of the things we're dealing with. Because anybody who looks at the temperature and the wind over the last 7 to 10 days understands that the quality of that grass is not going to be as good after August 1st as it would have been starting last week.
No, absolutely. So talk about what will loosen for the USDA if this bill gets passed.
Well, I think, unfortunately, and I think this is true, I mean, like I said, it's already July 28th and August 1st is coming around the corner. I think the damage is already done.
Right.
But there was a lot of bipartisan support. You know, North Dakota, 95% of North Dakota is in a drought, 70% of Minnesota. This is just, it's regional, it's generational, and the lack of understanding of that by the USDA is really, really, frustrating, bordering on really upsetting.
Well, what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, Thomas Vilsack, I mean, he understands agriculture. He's been a part of the industry. So I'm trying to, Richard Flournoy was up here in North Dakota. He had a chance to look at it. The FSA director from South Dakota, he understands what's going on because they're going through that situation. So I'm trying to figure out who's making the decision to or dragging their feet on this. And I guess the other part of this bill is, you know, hopefully we'll never have this again, but maybe something will be in a place, you know, for years down the road that there can be some flexibility. But where does this get cut up besides we're just saying the USDA?
Well, I hesitate to, you know, guess when I don't know, but there's no practical reason for this decision. So there has to be an ideological or political reason for it. And none of them make any sense in North Dakota, Minnesota, or Montana, South Dakota. None of them make any sense there. Like I said, all of the conservation groups, all the hunting groups, all the sportsmen's groups, they supported all of this stuff. So we're going to want to know because we're still going to be dealing with this administration for another 3.5 years, essentially. And we need to have answers. And we are working. You know, I work very closely with Dusty's office, obviously, both with Senator Hoban and Senator Kramer, about adjusting and addressing some of these timelines, given where we produce ag and livestock being so close to, I mean, in our weather patterns as compared to the USDA. So we need long-term fixes towards that stuff. But right now what we need is triage. And unfortunately, I mean, we introduced the bill. We want the bill. We want to be able to show support for all of that. But the practical effect, I don't want to be lying to anybody who's listening right now, is probably not much because of how long they drug their feet to make the decision originally.
Right. And the key word here again, and the statements that I'm looking at, is bipartisan. This just isn't our heavily Republican state. You've got quite a few Democrats also in support of this.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the Midwest and you're going through this drought and you're getting the phone calls and talking to the people that we're talking to in my office, the letter behind your name isn't going to determine how you feel about these issues. Tina Smith's on it. I mean, this is an important issue for the Midwest, and it's always my concern, particularly in you know, this administration. There are not a lot of people making the decisions that come from there, and even the ones that do come from the Midwest, like Secretary Vilsack, obviously, if he's advocating for it, he's not getting through. Mm-hmm. If he's not advocating for it, I want to know why.
Right. I know that you've been around the state. I know you're well aware of what is going on as far as the drought conditions and just the weather-related issue that agriculture has gone through. Is there anything besides this that you're working on? Are you comfortable with the programs that seem to be getting set up into place to help farmers and growers? I know everybody's in a lot of comments lately, like, hey, if we catch some rain in August, but everything I'm hearing from the Weather Service is below normal precipitation and warmer temperatures. So it quite possibly is not there. But what are your thoughts? What do you want the farmers and growers to know?
I mean, disaster, we're working on our declarations as we get farther, getting crops certified as early as possible so we can potentially get some, you know, cover crop if we do get lucky on rain and all of that. And that's from the producing side. You know, every farmer who's ever planted anything in North Dakota has dealt with a weather-related emergency, and they haven't had to be farming all that long. It's a tough way to do this, but making sure these programs are responsive, which now I'm obviously very concerned about. I'll tell you, I drove from Dickinson, North Dakota to Whitefish, Montana a couple weeks ago, and until you got about 10 miles east of Glacier, you know, the one thing you do see a lot of in western North Dakota and eastern Montana is cattle, and it looks like an absolute desert out there, and almost the entire way. Mm. It's a really tough place for our cattle producers right now, and not just in North Dakota, but all across the Midwest. And the one thing you can't do with a government program is you can't feed a cow cash. I mean, these guys are losing the genetics in their herds. Some of them have taken generations to build it up. If you're in southwest North Dakota, you dealt with this in 2017 already. It's just really tough. And trying to figure out creative ways, we can figure out a way to do something. But unfortunately, and this is, I mean, the federal government just isn't quick and creative at the same time very often.
Yeah. And the hard part is, and I don't know what the market prices are today, but a few weeks ago I was talking to a friend that has a pretty big herd, and I asked him if he was going to be paring down, and he just said no. He just said because right now the prices that are being sold for, the livestock is being sold for at the auctions, are down about 20-30%. He said, I can't really afford to take the loss. So it's just kind of a box that you're almost in.
Yeah, and even, you know, it's just different because when we went through our last drought in southwest North Dakota, we were getting hay and stuff from up by Leeds and in that area. But right now, there's nowhere to go south or west. And, I mean, if we're lucky, we can get some out of southeast Minnesota. But more often than not, you're talking Iowa. And even with the cost share programs, with the increased transportation and the increase of feed, it just simply can't pencil out.
Okay. A couple of minutes left. I do want to, it's not directly involving agriculture, but social media, I think, affects everybody. I know you had a press release yesterday, and I just wanted to get your comments on this. But yesterday you announced legislation to hold big tech companies accountable for reforming the Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Maybe could you just give us maybe a couple of minutes of what you're thinking there?
So, yeah, I mean, our Energy and Commerce and Judiciary Committees on the Republican side have come together and figured out a way to deal with 230 on that side. I've been working on this products liability portion of this for quite a while. I think oftentimes what happens with these fights, I mean, listen, there's bipartisan criticism of big tech. The problem is the Democrats and the Republicans have different criticisms. And what I really don't want to happen is not having any meaningful legislation moving forward to hold some of these companies accountable in a more specific way. So So the 230 liability protection we're dealing with is particularly with online platforms and products liability. No, Amazon is not just a middleman in the service of goods in e-commerce. They are involved from every step of the vertical supply chain. And for them to claim essentially middleman status is just not accurate. It's not the reality. It's not how the business model looks. It's not how the economy looks. So the fact that they would get products liability from something they're selling on their site that they know is defective simply doesn't make sense. And I'm hopeful to get some bipartisan support on that and move it forward, because it's good for consumers, it's good for small businesses that participate in that and are going to have to continue to participate in that to make it the 21st century economy. So I'm hoping to take some of the partisan fights out of some of the big tech reform and see if we can actually move some things forward.
How soon could that move forward?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. It'll depend on where we're at. We're coming. I mean, I've been in Congress for two and a half years, and I'm on my 130th week of Infrastructure Week. So, a lot of everything is held up over the rest of those things. But we're going to continue to try to push forward. And we want to take input too. I mean, we don't want to make things. You know, the excuse is always, if you do this, nothing will ever work the same again, and that's. I think sometimes that's a crutch they use to scare us. But at the same time, we don't want to try and do something that actually hurts small business more than it hurts or more than it regulates or reins in some of these platforms. So we're always conscious of that. We don't want just good rhetoric. We want good policy. So it'll take as long as it takes. You know, this is a fight that's been going on we should have been involved in it a lot earlier, but we want to make sure whatever we're moving forward is smart policy.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kelly. I wish we had a bunch more time. You've been involved in a lot of different things, most of it more political than I usually do.
Eric, when you slow down, that's when they catch you. So we just keep going. We keep moving.
Anything on the oil pipelines or anything there that's coming up in the near future that we should have on our radar?
No, I think, you know, everything's kind of settled out. Obviously, TC is suing the federal government. That'll be interesting to watch. DAPL's doing well. Enbridge is in whatever they're at right now. But I think it's, you know, we still got to watch the federal regulation being able to get permits in the ground, or we're not going to get our products to market.
Right.
You know, we got to keep looking forward, keep making sure we can do that.
Sure thing. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for your time. Be safe, and hopefully we'll get to see you soon.
Thanks.
Not a problem. That's North Dakota Congressman Kelly Armstrong joining us for a visit today, talking mostly about CRP and trying to get the USDA to be more flexible, especially in the times of drought.